Okay, good evening YouTube. Welcome back to this next episode of FPL Family with me, Lee, and this is Sam. And Sam, we've gone most of this season, or quite a long way through this season, without too much VAR controversy. But it was back with a bang this weekend. Soft penalty after soft penalty, which led to a lot of players and a lot of teams talking about, whinging about the top four or the big clubs getting the rub of the green when it comes to some of these decisions. A lot of soft penalties this weekend. What was going on with that?
Was there even football this weekend? I didn't notice.
Oh, Spurs crying off. Yeah, well, we hope, and fingers crossed, I've seen on Twitter, it feels like Conte's gotten back on the training ground. I've seen some reports to suggest
not that... in the building, though.
The building's still closed. Okay.
They drove themselves in.
Yeah.
They trained outside.
Yeah.
They drove themselves out.
Okay.
So there have been some Spurs first teamers training today. So hopefully...
And are the players that had COVID, are they back? Or
no.
I guess they're still isolating, right?
I think until Saturday, might be Friday. So obviously those players will miss Leicester if Leicester's on. But according to Rodgers today, hasn't heard anything from Spurs or the Premier League. So we must assume that that game will go ahead.
Yeah, well, I think that's got to be one of our talking points this evening, guys. Is a lot of, you know, we are in, I'm afraid to say it, another wave of COVID here in the UK. We've got the Omicron variant coming in. Spurs already affected, and we're starting to see other clubs. I think Manchester United, some reports.
Villa.
Of some Omicron cases there. Maybe Villa, some COVID cases. Listen, we're speculating a little bit based on what we've seen on Twitter. So keep your eyes on the official news, obviously on Sky Sports and all those other official channels. Don't just listen to us when it comes to the COVID cases. But it feels like we're about to come into a pretty difficult to navigate FPL section of the season, doesn't it? I mean, we've got...
I mean, this part of the season is always difficult
uncertainty.
Anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we've got rotation anyway because of the fixtures and everything else. Throw into that the possibility that you lose a player for 10 days.
Yeah.
And I think with Omicron, I think I'm right in saying if you have a close contact, you have to isolate anyway, don't you?
I think
so.
Until
you prove a negative
test.
Every day, I think you have to do negative tests instead. So, difficult one. And I think we just have to see how the land lies. I mean, you can't do anything about it. You just have to kind of
Absolutely.
Hope that we get news prior to game week deadlines. And, of course, game week deadline on Tuesday this week. So
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, take a breath because we are going to go again on Tuesday, guys. We've got another FPL deadline in, what is that, less than 48 hours from now, right?
Yeah.
Monday, Tuesday, what is it, 6:30, I guess, on Tuesday? We'll have to have a look at that, up maybe as we're doing it. Just as you're doing that, Sam, welcome to the live stream. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. We've got the usual stuff. We'll go through some of the games. We'll talk about the top FPL talking points. We'll look at both of our teams as well. And we'll take a look at what we might be doing for next week. And whenever I say next week, I mean next game week, because the Tuesday deadline is...
6 o'clock.
6 o'clock, 6 p.m. UK time, GMT. Next Tuesday, because what games have we got next Tuesday night?
7:30, Brentford and Manchester United. 7:45, Norwich and Aston Villa. 8 o'clock, City and Leeds.
Right, so there we go. Only less than 48 hours to go until the next deadline, guys. So get on it. There's our man. There he is, Conor Gallagher. What a performance from Conor Gallagher today. Absolutely sensational. And if you had his 15-pointer, I think it's 15-pointer, in your FPL team this week... That is probably the difference between a very good game week on a good game week or a red or a green arrow. I think he's done his owners the world of good. After actually a few weeks worth of dross, actually, not really pulling up any trees recently, nor of Crystal Palace, really. But actually, Conor pulling out the 15-pointer today and a pretty good performance from Palace.
I think he had a lot of sellers this week, though.
Did he?
I think there was a lot of Gallagher to Bowens that went on this
week.
Yeah,
which you could
understand.
Like it. You could
because,
understand
you know,
it.
Bowen
yes.
had been in good form and Gallagher and Palace had kind of let it slip a little bit over the last few weeks. So if he did that this week, gosh, that's going to be painful.
Yeah, Gallagher third overall for BPS in the game with 51. I noticed, Sam, only one player had more shots on goal than Mo Salah this game week. Conor Gallagher with the 7. Salah had 6. And actually, when you look at some of the stats on the Fantasy Football Scout members area, Gallagher showing up a lot, coming up in the stats. So listen, was this a one-off performance for Conor Gallagher? Or are we going to see now, given the fixtures for Palace look pretty good over the next few, starting with Southampton at home on Tuesday, Wednesday, is this the time, actually, to get on a Conor Gallagher? Or are we chasing his 15-pointer? Have we already missed the boat? We'd love to know in the comments, guys, what you think about the man there on my left-hand side, my right-hand side, I should say, Conor Gallagher. What a performance from him today. Or are we chasing points going for him in game week 17. Sam, before we get to talk about the top FPL talking points and our teams, we've got to say hello to a few people. So let's get into the chat and say hello. So Adam is in. How are we doing, Adam? He says, hi, guys. Keep or sell Gundogan? What are we saying? Difficult one now, isn't it?
Back injury, I believe.
A little bit of a back injury. A bit of a, not only a back injury, but a bit of a vague description of a back injury from Pep as well. And we've seen before, I'm no bending or no back injury expert. This is well documented. And I've said that before many times on these streams. But back injuries can be very, are they a week? Is it a little back injury? Is it a month? Is it longer? It's difficult to really say, isn't it?
You don't have to risk him either.
No, not necessarily.
KDB's back.
Sort of feels like Gundogan might be a bit of a sell, Adam. He might be a bit of a sell. I don't know. Use your judgment, but for me, he feels like a bit of a sell, I'm afraid. Guys, as usual, we will do. We'll say hello. We'll do the top FPL points. We'll do our teams, and then we will talk about. We'll get into the Slack. We'll do the Patreon questions as well. So
tea was so hot, it steamed up my glasses.
It's hot tea. You love it, hot tea. So anyone that's thinking of doing any super chats, guys, thank you for the super chats. We always have plenty of super chats every single week. Thank you very much for them. Let's leave until the end, till the Q&A. When we get to the Q&A section, that's the time to get your super chats in. That's the time when we'll have a look at the Slack questions from the patrons and we'll do a bit of a general Q&A around the game week. Speaking of patrons, Martin Treacy Schwartz is in. How are we doing, Martin? Very nice to see you. Franklin Anthony said he kept the faith with Conor Gallagher and it paid off. That is pretty much the sum up, isn't it? You've had to put up with a lot of dross from Conor. But if you kept the faith, fair play, you deserve his 15 points. Very, very good indeed. Andrew Yee, how are you? He says 72 minus 4 this week. Very good, Andrew. Very good. Small green arrow. Second week in a row, got exactly the safety score. 297k now. Just ahead of you, Lee. Yeah, it's 297 just ahead of me. Little smidgen there, Andrew. I'm right behind you, mate. I'm right behind you. Damien Naidu is in. How are you doing, Damien? Nice to see you. Matthew Wilkinson, 90. 90. Took a minus 8, Sam, but got 90. A big green arrow. Well chuffed with that. Well done, Matthew. Very, very good score indeed. Grizzly is in. Just says the word Gallagher with a lot of high-fiving, clapping emojis. A lot of happy Gallagher fans out there, no doubt about it. Who else we've got in here? Eddie Casey. How are we doing, Eddie? Very nice to see you. James is in. Liron Baird is here. And who else have we got? We've got Aaron is in and Daniel Banks. A whole host of you guys are in this evening. So thank you very much for joining us here on FPL Family. If you're not subscribed to the channel yet, we'd love you to subscribe. We're on about 22,500, I think. So it's going up, creeping up over the course of the season. We'd love you to go and hit the big red button if you're not a subscriber already. It really helps us out with all the YouTube algorithms and making sure that we pop up on the front page and find new audience members, etc. And of course, leaving us a like as well. There's loads of you in the stream already. So if you leave us a like, that would be much, much appreciated. Right, Sam, should we get on with the game? Should we have a look at the top FPL topics? From
sure.
The game week? Okay, let's have a look.
Let's have a look
at the scores. So here are the scores on the doors. Where would you like to start here? I'd like to start
at Spurs.
We cannot start at Spurs, Sam. That was the only one where we cannot start. Oh. We cannot start, I'm afraid, because...
Do you know, it feels really sad. I feel quite sad about this.
Well, yeah.
I've had
not much you can do about it, I'm afraid.
We've had two game weeks this season where...
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
No Lily Whites.
Well, it is what it is, I'm afraid, as they say. Let's
start.
First
Christmas jumper on and everything.
Yeah, just actually, some comments in the live chat for the Christmas jumpers. I'm all Christmas here at the minute. I'm feeling very festive. Very festive. I think after last Christmas, not really having a...
Heart.
We didn't really have much of a Christmas, did we, last year? This year...
What do you mean? You spent the day with me.
Yes, dear, absolutely, but... Didn't see the family. It was a difficult Christmas for a lot of people, wasn't it? Come on, let's be honest. So
and
this
there was
year,
no Jaffa cakes.
So this year, I'm all about the Christmas. I'm getting the jumpers on, everything. I'm going all out. I'd like to start at Stamford Bridge. Chelsea 3, Leeds 2. The reason I want to start there is because that, for me, is the difference between us two this game week. You had Tony Rudiger's 9-pointer with the 2 assists after being fouled in the area. We'll talk about those in just a second. And I want to talk in particular about Rudiger's general ability and general desire to get involved with the attack, because he's doing it a lot, frankly. When I watch those highlights, watched a bit of that game,
he's adventurous.
He's bombing forward like you wouldn't believe. He's absolutely ridiculous. Yeah. So your Rudiger 9 versus my Alonso and James, you know, 4 in total, because Reece James with a 0 pointer. Reece James now with 1 FPL point over his last 4 weeks.
Reece James. He's so he up
does.
And down.
He does.
Like, he goes for weeks where he's like 15, 12, yeah, 11. Yeah. Like, amazing. And then all of a sudden...
1-2-2-0-20. 1-2-2-1-15. Yeah. It can happen like that, can't it, with Reece James?
And I think the thing for me with And I appreciate that I sound like a broken record, but it's why I hate the double up, because games like this happen, and Chelsea have, and I sound like a broken record, but since Chilwell's injury, they haven't looked the same, and I do think Alonso destabilises that defence. They don't defend as well when they've got Alonso there. That means the clean sheets are less likely, and I take everything that everybody says on board about how, well, you know, if you're going Alonso and you're going Reece James, you're not just going with them because of their ability to return a clean sheet, and I totally get that. But that is part and parcel of owning a defender. You do want those 4 points, and Absolutely. When they go, that's 8 points that have gone. And yes, they have the potential to get attacking returns, but they won't always get those. So you want the bread and butter to be there. Now, with Antonio Rudiger, I feel like, yes, he's a safe pick in terms of minutes and starts and all of that. But also, he does have some ability to get attacking returns. And we've seen that over the last few weeks. And
Is he picking up the Kante role, by the way? I feel like when Kante's there, Kante kind of, he can travel with the ball and he's fairly, I don't know, he kind of tries to penetrate through that kind of middle of the park and work through that transition.
Yeah.
But when he's not there, someone's got to do it. And I sometimes wonder whether Rudiger picks the ball up and just says, right, I'm the one that's going to be that penetration through the middle. If I'm not going to go wide, if I'm not going to give it to Marcus Alonso or Reece James, I'm going to go myself and try and create that space and drive into those holes that are being left.
Yeah.
In between the defence and the midfield, and he's doing it really, really well.
I mean, I think it absolutely could be that. I also think in part that a lot of the time, the opposition, they worry so much about where are Reece James and where are Alonso, because those are the players that you expect to go bombing, that sometimes they just stand off Rudiger a little bit. They give him the freedom and the flexibility because they're a bit more concerned about the other guys. And, you know, look, Rudiger, he's not one of these wing-backs that we all love. But hell, he's turning over enough points for me to be really happy with him. And I wouldn't sell him for either Alonso or Reece James.
Definitely not right now. Definitely not right now. I can't help but feel, and again, I'm going to sound like your broken record, I still think it's a Kante thing. And even more, would I say even more so, as much so, Kovacic. Actually, Kante and Kovacic, without those two in there, I don't think the clean sheets are as assured. And we saw that against Leeds, right? Leeds struggling for goals themselves. Pops up with a couple here, and actually, for my money, deserves something from the game. Talk me through the penalties, because in particular the Chelsea penalties. The first one, here's my take on it. The first one is a penalty, but it's a stupid challenge from Rafinha.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing there, Rafinha. He does not need to go to ground. He does not need to foul him, but he does, and it is a penalty. The second one, where is, I can't remember who kicked through the back of him. But the kick through the back of Rudiger, and he goes, that's not a penalty for me. It's not a penalty. I'd love to know what you guys think. What was your take on the softness or otherwise of those penalties?
I mean, there was a lot of dubious penalties this weekend.
Yeah, there was, wasn't there? Wasn't there, Jeff?
I mean, I suppose on paper, you kick through the back of a player, your player goes down, it's a penalty.
Yeah,
but it is soft, but if the ref gives it, do you know what I mean? It's one of those, isn't it? The VAR is not going to overturn decisions like that because it's not a clear and obvious error by the ref. The one I thought might get overturned was the Man City one, actually, but we'll get to that later.
Yeah. Harry's in tonight, by the way. He's saying 100% both absolutely clear, nailed on penalties.
I mean, I'll be honest. I absolutely take it because they got me 2 assists from Rudiger.
Yeah.
So, and I was with you, Harry. I thought they were stonewall penalties. I don't know what you're moaning about.
Rudiger owners will say there were stonewall penalties, no doubt about it. Alonso and Reece James owners, possibly a bit less so. But if we now look at the Chelsea fixtures going forward, Sam, I've got a feeling it looks pretty good. So here are the fixtures. Chelsea coming up, Everton at home, followed by Wolves away, Aston Villa and Brighton, before then Liverpool entertained at Stamford Bridge early on in the new year. So Chelsea assets, regardless of who you've got, whether you've got Rudiger, Alonso, if you've got Reece James, if you've got Mason Mount, who again scored this week, you ain't selling any of them ahead of Everton at home, are you?
The double up.
Well, the double up gives me a little bit more pause for thought, really, with Everton and Wolves coming up. So Everton can't hit a donkey's arse with a banjo at the
minute. Scored today.
Yeah, but I don't know. I just don't think that they look any good, Everton. And I know they scored today, and Palace possibly could have kept that out. They scored a couple against Arsenal, I get that. One was a worldie. I just see against Chelsea, and I know that Chelsea are conceding right now, but I just don't see Everton have the firepower to get past Chelsea. I don't. Okay. And then Wolves, who, for all of their defensive stability right now, Wolves, not really creating too much going forward, not really posing much of a goal threat. Very low XG again this weekend. So the next two look okay, I think, for the Chelsea double up. Now, get to game week 19 and you're away at Villa, home to Brighton and then Liverpool. Different question. That might be when I look to move on from my Chelsea double up. Would you agree with that? Would you agree with that as a strategy? What do you think?
Yeah, I guess so.
Yeah, okay.
I'm really not a fan.
You'd get off it now, would you? Ahead of Everton?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. And what about Mason Mount then? So plenty of goals for Mason Mount since he's come back into the team. Assists as well, on set pieces. Looks like a good investment, doesn't he? I know 2 or 3 weeks ago, Kelly Summers, friend of ours from the show, got on Mason Mount a couple of weeks ago. Seen her flying up the leagues, right? So is he somebody now we should be looking at in that midfield slot?
100%. Yeah. Okay. I think Mason Mount makes an excellent pick over the next few weeks. You know, you've just mentioned the Chelsea fixtures there with the defence. I think he looks great and he's involved in everything. And Chelsea are only going to get better as they get their key players back, you know, as Kovacic recovers, as they get Kante back. As Lukaku's able to do more minutes, things are only going to improve for them. So, yeah, all aboard the Mason train.
Very good. Okay, he's in the top 10 for midfielders overall for BPS this game week. Not up in the upper echelons with the Gallaghers, the Madisons and the Tielemans, but he's in there, I think, about 8th Mason Mount, so with 26 BPS, which suggests it's a solid game week. So, actually, I'd like to see, actually, whether he's overachieving his XG. Let's have a look. Yes, he is a little bit. His XG for the game week, 0.32. So, therefore, a delta of 0.68 because he obviously got the goal. So, what's that? That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5th. He's 5th for XG overachievers this week. So, does that suggest a little bit that maybe he's been a bit lucky to get those points today? Well, maybe. But I would put that together with the eye test and say, well, look, he's putting himself in the right positions to get those FPL points. He's on set pieces, so therefore the odd assist will tick over as well. And against this Everton side that looks fragile at best, I back Chelsea to probably come in and score a few goals. Surely this is the game against his old club where he brings Lukaku back to the fold as well. You'd think, right? What is going on with Big Rom? He's kind of come on as a sub a few times. There's easing back in, and there's easing back in, isn't there?
Doesn't
he really
fit,
is.
Though, does he?
Doesn't quite look at it yet. Yeah, I wonder whether he just wants a bit more time with him on the training ground, potentially.
Yeah, he doesn't look 100% back yet.
Not match fit, no.
Yeah.
But you only get that with minutes, don't you? I mean,
but he's giving him minutes. Yeah. And I think, you know, if you're not 100% ready, then you're not 100% ready. So
yeah, okay.
Maybe it is just a case of, particularly with, you know, you see a lot of managers rush players back and then they get Bamford, is a prime example, right? Comes on, gets immediately injured again. Wouldn't want that to happen with Lukaku again. So potentially there is that. Let's ease him back in, because Chelsea, like everybody, have got a really busy festive period. So, you know, is it better to get half an hour, 40 minutes, 45 minutes out of him and have him for the whole period, or get 90 minutes out of him and lose him again?
Okay, so that's Chelsea covered. Leeds, for their part, I thought they were pretty good, actually, after seeing not a lot of goal threat from them over the last few weeks. Any Rafinha owners that hold or held Rafinha, well done. You've picked up
jammy,
a couple of jammy
you?
Penalties. Well,
weren't
yeah,
you
listen.
Jammy?
Yeah.
Where was Rafinha on your pitch?
First sub.
Yeah.
That's why you have a bench, Sam.
Yeah, but when that happens...
That's why you have a bench in FPL.
Yeah. My point is that whenever I have points on my bench, you go, and so Jammy's going to come off the bench. Yeah. They never do.
You can call me Jammy if you like.
You?
Yeah.
Spent all that time moaning and complaining, and then you sat there when the Arsenal game was on going, oh, but Smith Rowe comes on for 1 point and I don't get my Rafinha points.
Why have you got to talk like that?
Because that's what you sounded like.
Right, okay. I must admit, I did give a little mini fist bump when Arsenal made the three subs.
Yeah.
And it wasn't Smith Rowe.
Jammy.
I did give a little fist
you
bump.
You were lucky. Lucky Bonfield.
Let's talk about Cristiano then, a player that I bought in a couple of weeks ago, as did you. Talk me through Manchester United's performance at Carrow Road.
I only put him in this week.
Did you? Okay. Well, it wasn't mega slick. It wasn't, you know, United at their best by any stretch of the imagination. But... got the job done. Another potentially dubious penalty that we need to talk about.
No, this one was a penalty.
Was it?
Yeah.
Was it?
Hit him around the neck.
No, he's gone down very easily, I think. Very
this
easily.
One is a penalty. In my opinion.
Maybe. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. I've seen them given, I've seen them not. But anyway, Manchester United getting the job done. And in case you've been living under a rock for the last few weeks, you'll know that the Manchester United fixtures just go from good to even better. It's Brentford, Brighton, Newcastle, Burnley and Wolves up next over the next five. And even after that, still pretty good for a number of weeks. So if you're not a Cristiano Ronaldo owner, is now the time? Should we be bringing him in?
Well,
what do you think?
I think we have to wait a minute, don't we, now? Because we're hearing these reports of some COVID cases at Manchester United.
For sure.
We don't know who they are. We don't know what impact that will have. We don't know how many of them there are. We don't really know if there's any truth in it yet. I don't think we've had any official confirmation on any of these things. So, yes, I think now is the moment to invest in Manchester United. Yes, I think Cristiano could be the one to do. Yes, I also thought De Gea had a good game in that game.
Very good. Double-digit haul for De Gea owners. Very nice if you got him.
He was, for those of you that aren't following us on Patreon and therefore didn't get an insight into my Ohana and my mad blind panics on Friday afternoon, I was trying to decide on keeper transfer this week and it was Ramsdale, De Gea and Fabianski were my three possible options to go for. All of them
all did pretty well.
Actually did really well, so I wouldn't have really mattered. You'll see later on when we go for our teams which one I did. But I think, you know, there's potential there to go with the Manchester United defence. We seem to be seeing Darlow regularly, and obviously Wan-Bissaka picked up an injury, didn't he, in the Champions League as well. So hopefully that means more minutes for Darlow too. So if you're looking for...
You thinking of bringing him in?
Well,
Darlow?
I'm not, simply because... I want to wait until Tuesday, and I never make transfers on deadline day, but the moment is so chaotic that I'm going to wait.
Okay, again. So COVID aside, because that can't be our answer for every question. So, assuming he's not a COVID case, is he a player to bring in?
Well, yes, but you asked if I was planning to bring him in, and my answer is, well, no, because in order to make multi... I would have to take... I have to free up some money because I've invested all of my bank budget. Why was that so hard to say? I've invested all of my bank budget at the moment in my team now. I've nothing in the bank. So in order to go up from Williams to him, which is what I would want to do, to take some money out of elsewhere would mean two transfers, therefore would mean rolling through game week 17 and into doing it for game week 18. But I do think there's scope to do that, yes.
Okay, all right, very good. So third overall for amongst forwards for BPS this week, Cristiano Ronaldo.
I wasn't that impressed with him though, were you?
No, I wouldn't say it was an incredible Manchester United or an incredible Ronaldo performance.
No, I mean, got the penalty, but I thought he was just all right in that game.
But that's part of the reason you have him, because United are going to get penalties, aren't they? They're going to get penalties. The way that they're pressing a bit harder now, the way they're winning the ball back in those areas, and they're not just letting teams come onto them and then making a cock-up in defence and conceding goals. You're going to get Rashford and Sancho more on the ball. You're going to get more time in and around the opposition's penalty area. Right. So he's going to get more penalties. I think, to be fair, if you captained him over Salah this week, I would say fair play, because that deserved, you know, that deserved possibly a bit more than the reward that you got. You got a goal and three bonus points, so no one's really complaining if they've captained Ronaldo. But it took balls of steel it takes balls of steel any week to go outside of Mo Salah, in my opinion. And again, Salah again returning for Liverpool and for all of his captainers. So if you went Ronaldo, maybe a bit disappointed that he didn't get a bit more. But then Salah could have had more in that Liverpool game, couldn't he, as well?
Yeah, I mean, I think watching those two games, it's Salah that surprised me that he didn't get more than Ronaldo. I didn't think Ronaldo had that great a game.
Okay, all right, very good. Okay, so that's Manchester United. Dalot very much on my radar. Can't talk too much about Burnley versus West Ham. We didn't watch the game because it wasn't on TV here in the UK. But a game that was Leicester 4, Newcastle 0.
I'd
like to talk about Leicester a little bit. But I also want to talk about whether we should be targeting Newcastle now with our captaincy. Because Newcastle, I mean, Eddie Howe, if he didn't realise what sort of job he's got on his hands now, then he definitely does after today, surely. And their fixtures, Newcastle, they come up on Sky Sports as we were watching the game. It's just tragic next, right? So it's away at Anfield, then it's Man City, then it's United, Everton and Southampton. I mean... Actually, the Everton and Southampton games might not be too bad, but those other three, Liverpool, City and Man United are the next three. No way are you investing in Newcastle. But actually, could you be... I mean, we've got...
You target Newcastle.
You target them, right? So it's Salah for captaincy next week, I would have thought.
Yes.
I would have thought. And then maybe it's a Man City or a Manchester United player after that. I don't know. What do you think?
They're woeful.
Really
like,
bad
honestly,
today. Like, really bad.
And I've said a few times over the last few weeks that I've watched Leicester and really not been very impressed. I've thought that Leicester have been, I don't know, they've been a bit sloppy. They've been a bit unsure about their formation, about what team is right. There's been a lot of changes happening. Well, I thought that they made them look... I thought Newcastle today made Leicester look absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. We'll give a shout out to Maddison, though. I thought Maddison was very, very good today. I just found a couple of stats on him a second ago. Yeah, fourth overall for amongst midfielders for BPS. And there was also another stat here in the Fantasy Football Scout members area that I'm sure I saw. No, I've lost it. But actually, you can reel out whichever stat you want about Maddison. For me, he passed the eye test massively.
He did. But Maddison's very up and down type of player, isn't he? Performs well. And we've seen that over the last few weeks he's been performing. But he is a purple patch player. And I don't think there's anything wrong with investing in him, by the way. But I thought Newcastle made Leicester look really good today. As much as I thought Leicester played well. And I'm not... Please don't think I'm suggesting that Leicester weren't good today. Because they were. But I could have played well against that Newcastle side today. I thought Newcastle just looked like... I mean, you looked at those fixtures a minute ago. I can't see where they're getting any points between now and the new year.
Yeah, well, Leicester's not much better. They're just above them with Spurs and Everton next before a trip to the Etihad and then Liverpool before Norwich in 21. I don't think Spurs and Everton is too bad. Certainly.
Whoa.
Well, it's not, is it?
I mean, we've got half our team, we've got COVID. So.
Well, you've got the COVID issues at Spurs. You've got the kind of momentum that Conte was trying to build has kind of been broken a little bit. I'm actually not sure whether this rest, if you want to call it that, is good for Spurs or not. I personally
don't think it is,
because I think you had some good momentum there.
And it's forced rest. It's the wrong kind of rest. It's
exactly.
Not training rest.
It's not training rest. Yeah, totally right. So I wonder whether Leicester, on the back of that 4-0 at Newcastle, they've got the momentum, haven't they, coming into that Spurs game all of a sudden, if it goes ahead, fingers crossed it goes ahead. Then they play Everton, who we've mentioned already, you know, all over the shop, before Man City and Liverpool. So if you're looking for a short-term... And it is a bit of a punt, Maddison, but he has now got 3 double-digit hauls in his last 4 games. I don't mind him for the next 2, but it's a bit of a transfer waiting to happen ahead of Man City Liverpool, isn't it? I think. I'm not looking to invest, but he did play very well today.
I'd agree with you
okay.
on that.
All right, very good. Let's move on. Let's go back to the games which are here. Let's talk about any other games that were on Saturday. Let's talk about the Man City midfield, because that is a hot topic in FPL right now as to which one.
Another thing you
to
were
go
very
for.
Upset about.
Well, it's not a penalty, is it? It's not a penalty.
That's
it's not
that. It's not that you're upset about. It was the fact that it was Bernardo that got
that made
the assist.
Me. That made me doubly upset, Sam. But as you know, football first and FPL second. And football first, I thought Wolves were absolutely in this game. And there's two things that really upset me. One was the Jimenez red card. Okay, he absolutely should not have reacted the way he reacted for the second yellow card. That was stupid, no doubt about it. And if you're a Jimenez owner, what are you going to do with him now? You're looking to sell? I guess you probably are. But the first one is not, it's not a yellow. It's not a yellow. The ref got that wrong, right? 5 minutes before that, he and Rodri had a bit of a coming together. And rather than the referee noticing that and noticing there was a little bit going on between them, he just decided to book the away player at Etihad. I just thought it was so wrong. And then the penalty is a farce, frankly. It's a farce.
It was
a terrible penalty. That's a penalty. And as a Liverpool fan, maybe I'm biased. I'm obviously looking for Man City to drop points in the title race. Of course I am, right? But let me know if you think I'm biased. I didn't think that was a penalty at all.
No, well, I didn't think it was a penalty either. I think if it's hitting your armpit, then how can it be a penalty? I mean, my understanding of the penalty rule is that if it hits your arm deliberately,
didn't even hit his arm, hit his chest, hit him on the side.
It was hit sort of here, wasn't it?
No, didn't. Hit him on the side here, side of the stomach.
But even if it was here, then it's still within the sleeve, and I thought that was okay, because it counts as the shoulder. I mean, the reality is, before that, there was a penalty he didn't give, where Max Kilman basically does...
Oh, that is a penalty.
And that's what doesn't make sense to me,
yeah.
Is that you... Max Kilman literally... Shocking. Uses his whole body to lean his arm onto the ball and it goes out. Yeah. And that's not a penalty. But this one where Bernardo hits it onto Moutinho and it just sort of smacks into him and he doesn't move his arm. Nothing. I didn't think it was a penalty, but we'll 100% take the silver assist for it, of course. I don't know. I thought Wolves were actually...
What did you make of Bernardo's overall performance in that game? I thought, again, he was pulling the strings, a good performance. Didn't really threaten an FPL haul at any stage.
No,
though.
But equally, I think part of that was because Wolves played really well. I was impressed by Wolves in this game.
Defensively, they're good.
They're
Wolves.
Solid.
They're all right.
Since I sold Tomato, their defence has been really good. So I think they would consider themselves really unlucky. And I know Lars was very upset at the end of the game about the result, because Wolves had opportunities in this game and they were probably unlucky not to take something from it.
Would they have got something out of it with Jimenez on the pitch and 11 men? I think they would have.
Maybe. I mean, the Jimenez thing is a real shame, because I take on board what you're saying about, you know, the first one not being a yellow card, but also Jimenez is an experienced Premier League player. You've just been booked like 48 seconds before. Don't be an idiot. Like, yeah, that's just stupid. You're going to get booked for that. So, and then he's, I don't know, it was weird, wasn't it? Because what happened at the end of that is that what Jimenez had been doing a fantastic job of holding the ball up and getting it under control, taking the pressure off the defence. And when Jimenez went off, Traore couldn't do it. He just could not.
He doesn't hold the ball up, no. Nor does Hwang, actually.
No. So they and that's where the problems really started for Wolves, because at that point, the system that they'd been playing that was working, started to fail.
Yeah, Jimenez so, just can, you know, for all of his strengths, one of his strengths is he can just put his foot on the ball for a minute, take the pressure off the back line, and it just was wave after wave from City in that second half. They probably deserved the point. You're right, the penalty was not a penalty, in my opinion, but the Max Kilman was when he leaned in. That was.
So maybe it's evened itself out.
João Cancelo now not available for game week 17.
What a monster.
Got his fifth yellow card, so now he's now suspended for game week 17. I think we'll be back for 18, though, only a one-match suspension.
It's a one-match ban, so he missed Leeds, which is really annoying.
Which is, so that for me, that means a benching, right? I'm not looking to sell Cancelo
for
any stretch of the imagination. And one of the reasons I'm not looking to sell him was, again, he pops up in the overall BPS for game week 16.
They'll miss him, though, by the way.
They will, and he will affect their system, no doubt about it. He comes in sixth overall for BPS for the game week. And here's a stat that I reel out every single week in terms of touches in the opponent's half. João Cancelo, again, it feels like this is the same every single week. Touches in the opponent's half, João Cancelo, miles ahead of anybody else on about, I can't read the exact numbers, but it's about 160 here on this graph. And second, actually, is Zinchenko from Man City on about 120, 130. But the point I'm making is that actually that fourth, that second, third, fourth and fifth on this Fantasy Football Scout members area graphic, that's always different. But João Cancelo is always top for touches in the opponent's half. It's unreal.
And he's a defender.
And actually, he's top for passing as well in the game week. So he and Zinchenko, again, interestingly, again, if you're a member of a Fantasy Football Scout, you can go to the members area, have a look at all of these graphics that I'm referring to.
If you're not a member, there's a discount on at the moment.
Is there a discount on at the moment?
You get 20%.
Okay. Is all the links in the description below, all that sort of stuff? Okay, check that out, guys. Top five players for passing this game week, Sam. Cancelo, Zinchenko, Laporte, Rodri and Ruben Dias. So that tells you everything you need to know about City's domination of the ball in that game. Mm. And to be fair, the Wolves defensively looked all right, but from an XG perspective, real bad. One of the lowest XGs I've seen in any game from any team so far this season, even before Jimenez was being sent off, right?
Don't think you could sell Hwang this week, though, now.
Well, let's have a look at the Wolves fixtures.
Now Jimenez is suspended. Huang's going to start, so...
Well, the Wolves fixtures going forward, Sam, are not that great. They go away to Brighton next.
But Brighton don't have a lot of their key players. Dunk's obviously out till January.
Yeah, true enough.
They've got some injuries there. We don't know how many of those will be back. So if I was a Hwang owner, I'm not. I sold him a few weeks back. But if I was still holding Hwang, I'm not sure I would sell him now because he's going to play because Jimenez is suspended. And that game against Brighton, I think, you know, the Brighton defence, they will be weakened by the Dunk injury. So...
The problem you've got with Hwang is he's probably competing in that price bracket with Josh King and Emmanuel Dennis.
I'm not saying to buy him, but if you had him, I don't think you'd sell him for this week.
Yeah, maybe.
It's a nice-ish fixture and he's going to play. So I think you'd hold him this week, maybe with a view to selling the week after when Jimenez is back.
Fine. All right, fine. So Man City, talk to me about this kind of midfield conundrum then. So Sterling gets the goal, Bernardo gets a flaky assist. Kevin De Bruyne is coming into play now. Foden... featured in this game, as far as I'm aware. There's options now, isn't there, for Pep? And the roulette just got that bit harder. Except if you're a Gundogan owner. I think that probably is a sell, unfortunately. Because despite the fact a few weeks ago he was one of the key players, bursting into the box and threatening to do what Gundogan did for us last season, which when he was an FPL god, quite frankly. He's now got this kind of niggly back injury, and my concern is that his game time is reduced now, or at least managed over the next few weeks. It's got to be, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
And particularly with, like you say, there's a lot of other players that are suddenly back, so there is an ability maybe for Pep to do that rotation stuff a little bit more around him. And I think, you know, there are certain players in there that are proving themselves to be in really good form at the moment. Bernardo Silva is one of them. Raheem Sterling is another one, actually. And Phil Foden's obviously coming back. Came back well a couple of weeks ago, then got re-injured, then came back again, and I thought looked quite good again when he came back this time, although, you know, nothing for him in this game. But I think moving forward, obviously the Man City fixtures are still really lovely, and you do want to be invested in those Manchester City attacking players. You have to pay a risk. You are playing a little bit with fire, but it does tend to bring them on. So you are going to get some minutes. And to be honest, 30 minutes out of Foden, 30 minutes out of Bernardo, 30 minutes out of Sterling might just equal points with the fixtures the way they are.
Yeah, but it's Leeds at home next, and I'll be going into that fixture with no Man City.
Ooh,
because I'm going to be obviously no benching Cancelo. So I'm going into that game probably with maybe just Rafinha, which will be interesting.
And aren't you thinking that he might get the heave-ho?
From my squad rather than by Bielsa?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, from my squad, maybe. Yeah, maybe. More on that a bit later on my possible transfers. Where else to talk about? Just a quick shout out to Arsenal, because I don't know what's going on with Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang. Missed training again.
Something about a tattoo,
fined by the club. I mean, what are you doing? This guy's a club captain and they've got so many good young players. But
why is he doing this?
Nevertheless, did they miss him? Not in the slightest. Went out and put in a great performance against Southampton. Now, a couple of points to make here. I just want to make 2 points about the goalkeepers. Firstly, you and I both bought in Ramsdale this week because we both had a Sanchez problem and it felt like a reasonable week to take a hit and sort that out. Well, very pleased that I did that.
I didn't take a hit.
With it. Okay, well done for not taking a hit. 11-pointer for Ramsdale. And by watching the highlights and by watching some of that game, I can now see... It's weird, isn't it, how you don't... Obviously, I was aware of what Ramsdale was doing and I was aware of his worldy saves, etc. But when someone's in your FPL team, you pay extra attention, don't you?
Mm.
This guy... He's such a flash Harry. He loves a save for the camera, doesn't he? Oh, my days, Ramsdale. His positioning is so bad that he's just pulling off worldy saves left, right and centre.
Look.
There was even one that was going wide in the second half, but he sort of stretched out, took it for a corner, got the adulation of the fans. He is a right...
Are you moaning about the two
save points? I'm absolutely not, because he got me 11 points, but I'm just thinking, this cannot be sustainable from Ramsdale long term. Surely, this guy...
I mean, it's been sustainable so far this season.
Such a flash Harry, isn't he? And I've said this before on here, I don't 100% rate him as a goalkeeper. I honestly don't. I think his positioning is poor. And because of that, he pulls off worldy saves.
This is quite harsh.
It's not. It's not. When you're used to watching Alisson week in, week out, you see what quality is all about. Ramsdale is not a high quality goalkeeper. But can he make a save? And that's all we're worried about in FPL, quite frankly. And Arsenal got half decent defence. So you've got saves. You've got low XG chances where he's going to make saves that Arsenal restricting the opposition to. And you've got half a chance of a clean sheet because Arsenal are decent in defence. So, therefore, he's a good FPL asset.
Well, this is
don't part... rate him as a keeper, but I'll get him an FPL.
Oh, wow. This is part of the reason. That was a bit savage, that was.
It's not savage, in my opinion.
Poor old Ramsdale. What's he done to you? This is part of the reason I went with Ramsdale, however, is not because of my views on him and his actual goalkeeping ability. Personally, Aaron, I think you're quite good. is that... I looked at David De Gea and I looked at Fabianski, who were my other two options, and I thought, which defence do I trust the most? Yeah. But also, which goalkeeper is going to be allowed to make the most saves? Because let's be frank, with goalkeepers, it's about clean sheets, but with the three of them, sure. I thought there's a lot of potential for clean sheets across all three of them in the next few weeks, if you look at it long term. And I thought, actually, that Arsenal defence is quite likely to... do what Spurs do, give away shots, but give them away from angles where Ramsdale
low
can
XG.
Make
yeah.
a save.
Yeah, yeah.
And those save points, they give him save points and they also therefore equal bonus points if he keeps the clean sheets. And so that all felt very, very nice, which is why I went Ramsdale. And
I can see why he gets 9, 10, 11 points every week.
Yeah.
I can suddenly see that now. I should have seen it weeks ago and got him in, but now I can see it. He's just save after save when he just doesn't need to make it.
But it's not really about... Nobody really makes keeper changes in the middle by point of the season unless you've got a keeper suspended, a game that's off, or an injured keeper, or you're on a wild card.
Yeah.
You don't make keeper changes because it's so boring, isn't it? Let's be honest. Changing a goalkeeper, it's like, oh, this is dull. It never pays off, really, unless they do a Ramsdale.
Can I talk to you about the Southampton goalkeeper, though? They've got Willy Caballero in as a bit of an emergency... is it a transfer or a loan? I don't genuinely know.
No, he's signed, I think.
I think he signed because he was a free agent.
What is that about?
I think we're starting to see why he was a free agent. I mean, they looked shaky as hell. And he in particular from set pieces. Don't get me wrong. 3-0 flatter Southampton here. Saka hit the post. Actually, Saka could have had a hatful actually this week. They could have had more goals, Arsenal. And from set pieces in particular, the Saints, including Willy Caballero, look really off it. Now, it's easy to bring out that rhetoric because Gabriel got the goal. He had one chalked out for, I think he was offside, maybe not that long before that. Should we be looking now at set piece takers against Southampton? Should we be looking at, I don't know, centre-halves that are playing Southampton? Is that too crude an analysis to make here? Certainly something I spotted during this game. Look very susceptible at set pieces.
I don't know. I mean, is he coming to be the first choice? I'm so confused by this transfer.
Well, yeah, he's in. They need him, right? They need him because the others are sort of injured or out, right?
But for how long?
I have no idea. But listen, if he's going to get game time over Christmas, the Southampton fixtures are as follows. It's Crystal Palace next.
And Gallagher.
And I want to talk about Conor Gallagher in a minute. Then it's Brentford. So if you've got Mbomo, if you've got Tony, you know, maybe you stick now with this Southampton game coming up. West Ham, Spurs,
yeah,
Newcastle.
Tony will be back from his COVID, won't he?
I would have thought so. Yeah, I would have thought so. So the point I'm making is, you know, I'm not thinking by any stretch of the imagination to get on any Southampton assets. I'm just saying I noticed a weakness there in the goalkeeper. He was really off it. And given that they bought him on a freebie, basically, because they're desperate, I'm not, you know, I shouldn't be surprised at that. But nevertheless, it's something I want to point out in FPL is that I think they look well shaky.
Lost Armstrong as well, didn't they?
Did they? Okay.
Was it Armstrong? One of their whoever's playing up front, I think it was Armstrong.
Right. Okay.
I think it was, went off injured. Yeah, they're not in the great shape at the moment, are they?
Okay. All right, let's move on. A couple of games just to talk about. Quick shout out to Diogo Jota from Liverpool who...
Why? Just misses stuff.
He does miss a lot.
I'm not happy with him.
He does miss a lot
of chances. The second game in a row.
He's top, you would believe this, but he's top for XG.
No, I would.
Underachievers.
He missed another sitter.
With 0.82. Yeah, missed some good chances, no doubt about it.
At least he'd come on, so I did have 11 players this week. Yeah, unlike Smith Rowe, thanks for nothing, Emil. Literally nothing.
Well, I've seen a few people in the chat tonight talking about, Jota maybe a bit injured. Do I sell him? He's not a sell, guys. He's not a sell. Listen, he's coming back from injury. He was probably right to start with Ox in this game because Divock Origi had a knee injury. He's put Jota on the bench. Jota's come on when we need a goal. Listen, no panic on Jota. Are you panicking on Jota or not at all? He's absolutely a hole for me.
No, I'm holding him until he returns a massive haul and makes up for all of the problems that he's caused me in the last couple of weeks.
He will. Top for XG underachievers
this
week.
I'm waiting.
And
you've got Newcastle next. You're not going to send him ahead of Newcastle.
And it's Newcastle next, yeah. And he only played a few minutes.
So it's going to be about 10-0.
0.82 XG in literally the sort of 20 minutes that he played is quite incredible, I think. So Jota's a hold and you absolutely keep him, I would suggest. Anything else to discuss, Sam, from here?
Let's talk about the Spurs game.
There's nothing to talk about, I'm afraid. The last thing I want to touch on is Conor Gallagher. Let's talk about him because we touched on him at the top of the show. Two goals for the young man, an outstanding performance, two very good goals as well.
Do you remember what the last thing I said to you was before this game kicked off?
Go on.
We were talking and Lee said, is that your whole FPL team finished? Can you do the screenshots for the stream later? And I was like, yeah. And then he went, where are you in the minute? And I went, well, I've got this.
Yeah.
The only person that can hurt me is Conor Gallagher, so hopefully he stays quiet.
Yeah. No, he was fantastic.
The
one thing I will say is that we talked about Jota being top for XG underachiever, so maybe should have got more points than he had because he missed some good chances. Gallagher top for XG overachievers. He's the opposite. He got more points than perhaps his underlying statistics suggest. Mm. With an XG of 0.6 and therefore a delta of 1.4 because he got the two goals... this is because they were worldies, right? That it was
two really great goals
from Conor Gallagher. But I feel like the kid has got it in his locker. He was top for BPS, in the top three for BPS this game week with 51. Only Jorginho and Tielemans had more than Conor Gallagher. An all-round really good performance. And actually, an XG of 0.6 ain't bad for a midfielder. Now, as we said at the beginning of the show... You have to put up with a few twos and ones potentially with Gallagher. And we've seen him dropping a little bit deeper in recent times, playing a little bit more reserved for Patrick Vieira. But Vieira absolutely unleashed him today against this Everton side. And he looked really, really good. Now, the reason I've got my eye on him is because the fixtures for Crystal Palace look really good. So next up is the aforementioned Southampton that looked really dodgy from set pieces with Willy Caballero between the sticks.
Yeah.
Then you've got Watford away. And for all of Watford's... You know, attacking prowess, they can leak a goal or two, no question about it. Spurs away, difficult game, then it's Norwich, and then it's West Ham. So the Palace fixtures look all right. If you've got Gallagher, You're absolutely holding, but my question to you is, would you be looking to get him in now, or are we just chasing that 15-pointer?
So the thing is that for the last couple of weeks, we've been talking about, you know, what's gone wrong at Crystal Palace, why have they gone so off of it, has the McCarthy injury affected Gallagher's positioning?
Yeah.
And he scored two fantastic goals today, but
Is he just had a good day?
I just sort of temper that enthusiasm a little bit.
Yeah,
because
maybe.
One, it's Everton who have been defensively not great. And two, has he just had a good game? Because he hasn't had a good game for the last couple. It's been okay. Has he just had a good game today? So I'm not in a hurry to do anything for game week 17. God, these game weeks. Is it 17 yet?
Yeah, it's going thick and fast.
I'm not in a hurry necessarily to do it before Tuesday, but I will be watching the midweek fixture carefully to see where he's playing again. Are we starting to see him in this more attacking position again? Or was it just that he had a brilliant game in this week?
Yeah, well, FPL Reaction is in the chat and he's saying Rafinha to Gallagher. That is a transfer that I am absolutely considering, FPL Reaction. I am considering that. Let's have a look at our team, Sam, before we do some patron questions. So how did your team get on this week? 73 points, which is a nice green arrow. Given that, I remember before this game week kicked off, you were talking about, I might not get a full team out, my bench looks very weak. So to get 73 points and a green arrow up to 118k, pretty good.
You got my rank wrong.
Got to be happy with that, haven't you? Have I got it wrong?
110k, thank you.
110k, okay, very good. Well, let me change that then. Look,
change it live.
I can change it live at the risk of completely wrecking the technology. There we go.
There we are.
110k, happy with that?
Very happy, thank you.
Good.
To be honest, you're completely right. I was dreading this week. I'll be totally honest with you. I, on Thursday, nearly had a bit of a nervous breakdown because that Spurs game, when it got cancelled, I was like, what is my life? I've got three players.
Who did you have? Skip, Kane and Sanchez, didn't you?
Yeah. I had flags on Jota and Smith Rowe.
Right.
I also had Brandon Williams, who couldn't play against his parent club. And I just thought, this is hell. I am literally
a lot of FPL managers are in the same position, right?
I'm in the mud.
That Brighton Spurs game off is a nightmare.
Yeah, I'm in the mud and I don't really know how to get out of it. And so
not sure that's going to get any better, by the way, over the next few weeks. The challenge. We're going to have games off, aren't we?
Well, yeah, and we're going to have players getting rotated. There's going to be suspensions.
I can't say it for sure, but it feels that
way. But even if there's not games off, there's going to be players who catch COVID and get isolated for 10 days.
And you won't know about it before the deadline. It'll just happen.
So you're going to need your benches. And this week, my bench, I mean, they're all right usually, but this week they failed because normally the ones that would be playing were either parent club ineligible or had COVID, so it was all a bit of a nightmare. So I decided early on that I was going to go Ronaldo to Kane. That obviously was a good decision.
Yeah.
And then I decided, after a lot of soul searching, to go Sanchez to Ramsdale, because at one point I did think I'll just go keeperless and I'll upgrade in the middle instead. But I decided to go with Ramsdale, and that also was a good decision.
Enough. To be fair, you were quite split between him and De Gea, so either way that would have gone
It would have gone fine, and Fabianski was on the list as well, so either any of the three would have been
Why did you go Ramsdale over De Gea in the end?
Potential for save points and additional points.
Yeah,
I just thought that there's more chance that Arsenal give away low XG shots and therefore he gets save points, and that's kind of what we've seen.
I think, but I mean, I was in the same position as you, choosing between those two, and I think in the end I went Ramsdale because
I am considering Dalot.
Yeah, and if Dalot looks to be nailed in that team, which it looks like he is, then I'm not sure I'd want a Man United double up.
No.
But I would absolutely have Dalot in there.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I nearly took a minus four because I thought, well, I haven't really got a bench. Had Livramento on my bench. Wasn't really that keen on playing him this week.
Yeah.
But thought, if I could just get something from Jota or Smith Rowe, I'm okay. And actually, we did. We got Jota on, so it was fine. And then Smith Rowe went off for
Livramento. If you've got Jota or Smith Rowe, I think you're in a pretty good position now for next game week. These guys will start.
I should have thought so. I mean, they were both on the bench, and obviously, Jota got some time, and Smith Rowe didn't come on at all. So I suspect so. And I mean, I wasn't keen on a minus four for a player that I was going to bench, which is basically what I would be doing. I'd be swapping probably probably Skip for somebody else. And I did look at the Villa boys, but I wasn't that keen on them ahead of the Liverpool game.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm, I'm going to wait now.
Okay.
This week.
All right. Early thoughts on transfers, though? Anything that you really desperately need to fix in that team?
I don't think there's anything major in there. Obviously, I've got Cancelo, who's got to be benched this week because he's now suspended. But Smith Rowe, I want to come back on, so that's fine. Brandon Williams, I could play this week because he's no longer parent club ineligible. And obviously, depending upon the COVID news at Spurs and whether the Leicester game is on or not, or indeed whether Skip is, as was reported in some parts of the media, one of the COVID cases, I need to see what happens there. Because in theory, if Skip can't play and Cancelo's out, I won't really have a bench again. I'll be down to just one on the bench again. I might need to relook at doing something there. But otherwise, I'm quite happy with the first 11. But I would feel more comfortable having a bit more of a bench going into this week.
Okay, all right. Captain?
Salah.
17?
Salah.
Got to be in it. Got a bit.
There's no other option, I don't think.
I think you're
against Newcastle.
You're mad if you don't. Green arrow for me as well this week, 75 minus 4, so a net of 71. My transfers this week were, obviously I had Ramsdale in as well.
I think you'd probably be higher than that now, you know.
Say again?
I think you'd be higher than that now.
What, the 350? Yeah, could be. Yeah. Maybe I checked the ranks a bit too early.
I think you went early,
Yeah, maybe I did. But Ramsdale coming in for Sanchez. My total points 996. Overall rank 350, although you're about to tell me it might be a bit higher, which would be good. Rank change of 10%. So, okay. Yeah, it was okay. So, it's my Chelsea boys that let me down. As I mentioned earlier on in the stream, that's the key difference between us two, really, this week, is that Rudiger's got you the 9-pointer and James Alonso have got me a combined 4. Reece James, a real letdown over the last 3 or 4 weeks. Really was hoping for more from this guy. But listen, with Everton up next, I'm not about to sell either of those guys, I don't think. In actual fact, I'm considering supplementing them with Mason Mount. That is possibly my transfer for this week. And the guy that would have to make way, and reluctantly, it would be Rafinha. And I say reluctantly because I said that this time last week. I said Rafinha out is probably the transfer that I was going to do for game week 16. And in the end, the Spurs and Brighton call off made me think, okay, well, Rafinha can just wait a week. He's going to play, so I'll deal with that next week. And I'll bring in Ramsdale. And actually got a bit lucky there because Rafinha's popped up with the 7-pointer and come off my bench. So I'm pretty happy with that.
Jam. It's
jam. Yeah, no doubt about it. But I take it. I don't get much of that. So is now the time to get rid of Rafinha? I still don't feel that great about Leeds, despite the fact I feel okay about Rafinha. Because actually, if I look amongst midfielders for BPS, he's not up there, Rafinha. He was okay in that game, but I wouldn't say he was amazing. He got the penalty, but he's probably their third choice penalty taker. After Bamford and possibly Click as well, I would say.
But they're not available.
They're not available. But Bamford will be back reasonably soon, we think. I don't know.
No, got re-injured again in the celebration.
Well, listen, maybe Rafinha stays. I don't know. But right now,
Mount's
I
a better
think
pick at the moment.
Rafinha to either Mount or to Gallagher. That's the transfer that I think I would like to make.
You've got the money
week.
To take Rafinha up, then.
Rafinha to Mount, I could do with the money I've got in the bank. But it would have to be tonight because according to Fix and to Statistics, the two price change prediction websites, Mount is due a price rise tonight. So if I was going to do it and I waited till tomorrow, I'd be 0.1 out of doing it. So I'd have to do it tonight if I was going to do it
tonight. But that's not the end of the world because the game week does start on Tuesday. So it's not like you're going that early.
Yeah. But as you rightly said, you want to wait as long as possible because of COVID and all sorts. There's already loads on Twitter in the last 24 hours about could be a little bit of COVID here, a little bit of COVID there.
Yeah.
Just, I would ideally love to wait. I'd love to wait. But if I wanted Mount, it would have to be tonight. Obviously, with Gallagher, I can afford to wait, can't I? Even if Gallagher goes up in price tonight or tomorrow, I can afford to wait because I can go down from Rafinha to Gallagher.
Mm.
It does feel reluctant because Rafinha with a 7-pointer feels like a weird week to take him out, but that's how I'm feeling about it.
Yeah.
Elsewhere in the team, it looks okay. My front two is fine. Ronaldo's going to stay, obviously. I bought him in for the longer term now until the new year. Salah and Jota, no problem there whatsoever. My back four, it's the Chelsea boys, really. If I was going to go elsewhere outside of Rafinha, it would be James or Alonso. I'd have to have a look at one of those two. But right now, with Everton at home up next, I'm kind of willing to just give those two another go. Mm. Another go. Alonso, I mean,
if he blanks again, though.
Well, it's a tough one, Alonso, at the minute. It's a tough one because he was really rash for that penalty, for the Rafinha penalty. I think it was on Rafinha. I think Rafinha won it and then took it. It's rash from Alonso. It's a poor tackle. And I do wonder whether Tuchel... It's not like they haven't got options there, right? You can put Reece there and play Azpilicueta on the other side. he can play other players in that position.
They've not been defensively very good at all since he's been playing.
I sort of wonder whether he might just be binned, you know, because he's really not that good, Alonso. He's really not that good a defender. I don't know. Listen, I've got to keep him, really, for Everton at home. FPL reaction, you seem to be reading my transfers tonight. The other move that I might make is, if I was going to get rid of Alonso, it might be to Matty Cash, actually. To Matty Cash. Because I looked at some of the Aston Villa fixtures coming up. They look pretty good. Stevie G's got them pretty well drilled.
Yep.
Okay, Liverpool could have scored more goals at Anfield over the weekend, but they didn't. And actually, Matty Cash had a pretty good game. And I've noticed for touches in the opposition penalty box, he's been right up there, not just among Villa, but among defenders overall in the game. I think he's been in the top three for the last three game weeks.
Cash rather than Matty Cash.
Yeah, Matty Cash. Because for that statistic, actually, for exactly that one, he's the one that's actually getting touches in the opponent's box. Mm. So he's the one that's getting in the danger area. So, yeah, Alonso to Cash, I agree with you, FPL reaction. That is one that I might look at too. One that I might look at. So there we go. That's my team. Salah captain. Not going to change that. It'll be Mo.
It's Newcastle.
It will be Mo.
You don't captain Salah against Newcastle.
You have to, don't you? You have to.
I mean, you literally can't watch. You can't. You just have to switch off the TV.
Yeah.
You have to switch off your phone.
Yeah, yeah.
And you have to basically pretend that football doesn't exist.
Yeah, forget it. If you need a very big sofa if you're going against Mo captain against Newcastle. Let's have a look at some of our questions from the Slack. A quick plug for the Patreon before we get there, though. Patreon.com/FPL fam. If you want to go support us over on Patreon, we've got three different tiers that you can get involved in. At every one of those tiers, you get access to the Slack community where you can come and ask questions that we will answer live here on the live stream every Sunday night at 8:30. And we're about to do that for this game week. You also get access to a bonus podcast that we do in preview for the upcoming game week. We release that on a Friday normally. It's called Ohana. That's our bonus podcast that we do every single week exclusively to our Patreon supporters. There's also competitions that you can get involved in at the $5 tier. And there's Zoom calls if you want one-to-ones with Sam and I to talk about your teams at the $10 tier as well. So loads to get involved with over at patreon.com/FPL family. And if you want to go and check us out, the links are in the description below. But as I say, Sam, every single patron will get access to our Slack community. And as usual, the Slackers, as we call them.
What they've been asking.
They've been asking some good questions. So let's get into the Slack and start looking at some of these questions. We're going to probably not have time to do all of them, but I want to have a look at some of them.
There's Danny, more every week.
It's great. Yeah, thank you for the questions, guys. Much appreciated. But Danny McDonald, thank you, Danny, for the question. Are you tempted by Foden, Sam, at 5.7% owned? He's had his rest. He's a decent amount of rest days between fixtures now from a Man City fixture congestion perspective. What are we saying about Foden at 5.7? Yeah,
I like him. I wrote an article today for Villa, for Brighton, and they have a section on captains in there, and I wrote about Foden in there if you were looking at differentials, because I do think he'll start with Gundogan potentially out for this midweek. I think Foden will start if he goes back in that false number nine position, which is where I bought him originally when he was playing there. He is absolutely a fantastic FPL option if he's in those positions. I don't think it weakens the others, and I think the Man City, if you're a brave FPL manager, the midfield double up could be on there with Bernardo and Foden.
Okay.
You have to feel
brave.
You have to be a little bit brave to do it because of the Pep roulette. But I do think it could be on over the next couple of weeks because those two are performing really well.
If you're on Gundogan right now and you're inclined to sell because the niggly back injury, maybe De Bruyne is coming back, which one would you go to? Would it be Bernardo, Foden, Grealish maybe?
No, it wouldn't be Grealish.
Not Grealish?
He'd be the definite no for me.
Okay. Third for XG underachievers, Grealish, so far this game week, or this game week. So maybe a bit unlucky not to get some FPL points this week. No?
Maybe. I mean, I just think, why would you not go Bernardo or Foden?
Bernardo or Foden for you?
Either or of them two. Bernardo just over Foden, but it is just.
All right, very good. Karan Suresh, thank you, Karan, for the question. Everyone talking about United defenders as replacements for Chelsea defenders. So I think we might have answered this. Are Aston Villa, especially their wing-backs, worth considering with Norwich, Burnley, Brentford and Leeds being four of their next five? Well, yes, Karan, I'm absolutely looking at Matty Cash. He's the one that I would go for the reasons I just mentioned, right? He's getting all the right areas. He's having attempts on goal. I feel like, I wouldn't say there's an explosion imminent there, but I would say that the clean sheets look pretty good as well, given what Stevie's doing there.
Yep.
I like Matty Cash for that little run, I do, I must admit. And Alonso to Cash, I am considering that. I am considering that. Who's the best mid-range forward, Sam, in the 7 to 8 million range? We've got Antonio, we've got Ollie Watkins, we've got Callum Wilson, we've got Danny Ings, and a few there that Rajesh, thank you, Rajesh, for the question. Who are you going with? Are you sticking with Antonio? Is probably a good question for you.
Yes,
for you, right?
I am. Okay. I am.
Arsenal away up next for the Hammers. That's not an easy game.
No, but then after that,
looks all right after that.
Fixtures are lovely. So
yeah.
I'm in the mud with Antonio.
You've held Antonio for this long.
I can't sell him now. I've got to stick with him.
Yeah.
I'm in there.
Reluctantly.
I'm just going to torture myself a bit more by keeping him, but...
So is the answer to Rajesh's question, he's saying Antonio?
No,
still.
I'm not.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's the... I think Ollie Watkins is the best pick of all of those.
Right, okay.
I would 100% go Ollie Watkins had I not dug myself into an Antonio-shaped hole that I just can't get out of ahead of these fixtures, but I would go Watkins.
Very good. All right, Alex Young, thanks Alex, is saying 5+ goals for Salah against Newcastle. What were you saying?
Yeah, 10-0 for me, 5 for Salah, 4 for Jota, 1 for Trent.
Serious question.
Trent gets all the other
Serious
assists.
Question. Triple captain Salah against Newcastle?
Oh, I mean...
Worthy of consideration.
It is worthy of consideration. The one
I probably won't, but it's worthy of consideration.
It is worthy of thought. Do you reckon there's any chance he benches him?
Who, Mo? No.
Doesn't need him. To beat this Newcastle side.
I don't think he'd bench him. I don't think he'd bench him.
He hasn't had a rest yet.
The problem is, not the problem, that we've got the rests, like, the Carabao Cup, right? He's not going to play him in the Carabao Cup, which I think is coming up. I know that he played in the Champions League,
but
that
was
70 minutes and he bought him off. He's just such a naturally fit, brilliant player. He's in such good momentum and rhythm right now. I don't think so.
All right.
The fact you've asked that question will probably put a lot of people off the triple cap.
It puts me off the triple cap. That's why I asked it.
The question I would maybe ask then, okay, so if I can ask the Salah triple cap and you are slightly concerned about the Salah benching, I'm not in any way concerned about the Jota benching in midweek. I think you start. Nailed on. Is Jota a better captain than Salah then? If you've got this in your head about Salah being potentially benched, is Jota a better captain?
No, because the reality is, if he benches Salah, then he ain't bringing him on because you'd be 8-0 up.
Yeah.
If he benches Salah this week, he isn't coming on. So therefore, he's captainable. But would I want my triple captain's armband to end up on somebody else? Because the reality of the situation is, the way things are at the moment, you cannot captain Salah and vice captain Trent or vice captain Jota. And I'm not sure I'd want my vice captain triple captain to go to anybody else right now other than a Liverpool player.
Big risk. Yeah, big risk. Here's a question from Gavin Doyle. Thanks, Gavin, for the question. What to do with Jamie Vardy now? He would likely start in midweek, but Leicester's game actually against Spurs go ahead due to the COVID outbreak at Tottenham? If you were a Vardy owner, what would you be doing? Because actually, the couple of times that he's not played in recent weeks,
they've played really
Leicester
well.
Have looked a lot better, haven't they?
So there's two things to be said, isn't there? The first one is, was this just because he played in midweek in the Europa League and therefore couldn't play straight away afterwards?
And was today's thrashing because it was Newcastle?
Yes.
Yeah, Newcastle really bad at the minute. And Sam O'Sullivan's asking that exact question, actually. Thoughts on Leicester midfielders? We're talking about Vardy, but he's thinking Barnes, Maddison, Tielemans. Worth a look?
Or
just a flash in the pan because it was Newcastle?
I mean, I actually think that the game will be on Thursday. I think the fact that Antonio Conte has decided to take his players back to training even without the first team facilities being open suggests to me that they are preparing for a game.
Very good. The guys are saying, will Lee stop making fun of Salomon Rondon now that he scored today? And maybe apologise to Sam for always doing it. We definitely need Lee to have a Rondon mug on the show. Also, is Sam buying a Rondon life-size cardboard cutout? Lots of Rondon love in the Slack.
Guys.
And that's mainly because most of our Slackers have been following us for a very long time and they know that 3 or 4 seasons ago
Rondon
when Salomon
Watch.
Rondon was a thing, we absolutely loved him.
We had Rondon
so
Watch.
Rondon
we
Watch,
had
yeah.
Rondon Watch and we used to wait and see what Rondon did every week. We had a whole section of the stream that was basically about us updating on Rondon. And I think you do, now's your chance. You owe him a public apology.
I'm sorry, Salomon. You are the world's greatest, no doubt about it. B is in with a question. Hey B, how are we doing? Hello, she says. May not be able to tune into live. Well, B, if you're here, hello. I hope you're well. Wanted to get your opinion. Again, here's the. So, see, it's a lot of love here for the favourite Villa defender question. So she's asking your favourite Villa defender or a defender under 5.0. So it's a little bit of love here for the Matty. I thought I was on my own with this one, but actually there's a bit of love for the targets and cashes of the world.
I don't think
here.
It's quite as... I know what you're saying. I don't think it's quite as straight cut as you go cash, because I think there is a lot of potential in target. I really do. He's the one that I was looking at last week, but I didn't want to do anything ahead of Liverpool. I spend a lot of time looking at Villa because, as you know, I write for them. I really like Matt Target, and I think that he and Cash are both nice options. I really like what Steven Gerrard is doing there with that defence. They are looking a lot better. There's a lot of love from both of us, I think, for the Villa defence.
I
think last season we all invested in them, at least one of them. Obviously, a lot of us with the double up with Martinez as well. And I'm starting to think that that might be the way to go. Not necessarily with the double up, but certainly getting back on board with them again.
Okay. All right. Matt Wilkinson is just asked, are you guys still in the cup? Are you still in the cup?
Oh, don't know.
I am. I got through. Get in. So I'm through in the cup. I would imagine that you are with a game week score. That's very good. Very good game week score. So I'm through.
I'll be well upset if I'm out of the cup in the first round.
Let us know, guys, in the comments below. Are you still in the FPL Cup? It was the first round of the FPL Cup this week. Are you still in?
Oh, smashed him.
Absolutely obliterated the guy. What did he get? Or she? He, Ahmed, by the looks of it, 42.
Sorry, Ahmed. Ahmed Wahid, you have been smashed.
No shame in going out of the FPL Cup to the great Sam Bonfield. No,
right, this guy, he ain't playing.
Is it a dead team? Who's captain?
Richarlison.
Yeah, without a doubt.
He's got without Allen, Pogba, Vardy, Anderson, Dina and Kovacic.
You've beaten a dead team. There's not a lot of... You can't take a lot from that, to be honest with you. You can't take a lot from that.
No. I am taking it.
You're gonna, of course you're going to take it, but there's not much
that team is... Guys, if you're playing bingo, that team is guff.
It is guff, yes, it is guff. Gavin Doyle says, Salah triple cap, worth it?
Oh.
I've put the seed out there now. I've sown the seed.
That is just a narrative.
What? It is a narrative. I'm going to make it a rhetoric. Salah triple captain. It's worthy of conversation. We are on the FPL show on Thursday, and I don't know what I'm talking about because the game we will pass, it's Tuesday, isn't it? Who's Salah got the week after? I'm doing what so many FPL managers do, which is I'm waiting for the weekend, and it's not. It's bloody Tuesday.
Big question is, though, will Divock Origi be back for midweek? Because we were all expecting him to start.
Well,
we spent the whole of the time last Sunday night talking about Ben Davis and Divock Origi. Ben Davis got COVID and didn't play, and Divock Origi suddenly injured and didn't play.
It is the most Divock Origi thing to happen for him to have a couple of good games and then get a knee injury. That's how Divock Origi
was. He building
operates.
A statue and hurt himself?
Possibly, yeah, possibly. And there's a great picture there of the mighty Ben Davis from FPL Harry. Thanks, Harry. Let's ask one last question from Gaz. Hey, Gaz, a serious question. With the high alert, with COVID and Tottenham having two games, do we now start now thinking about the bench replacement to cover our backs, as they are likely to be more games postponed due to COVID outbreak? So I think this is more of a question about...
Generally, the
benches. You've got to have the bench, you've got to have players that are playing, which is very difficult. I think the answer is yes, clearly. You've got to try and have a bench, right? Particularly for those that have got Cancelo, which is most of us. The suspension this week. I'm going to be light this week, right? I'm light. I've got no Cancelo. I've got a non-playing third attacker.
Well, you're in the position that I was this week.
It's going to be a struggle. It's going to be a struggle.
You end up, if you lose two on your bench, you're down to one. It's a struggle because you are going to be lucky if you get through a game week where everyone plays. You know, we saw it this weekend. We had Vardy rotated. We've had, obviously, a game be called off. Like we saw Smith Rowe not get on at all. There's going to be that is going to happen over Christmas, so you do need a bench, and it's something that when I look at my team I'm very conscious of at the moment, is that, and I'm trying wherever possible to keep my bench players from different teams so that if you lose games it doesn't kill you.
Like, so another reason potentially to move off of defensive double ups. If you weren't uncomfortable enough with it before, all of a sudden, you get a game called off and you've got no defence.
I mean, I said to you, didn't I? You know, when I lost that Spurs-Brighton game, that was one thing. But with the way that my team was set up, if that had been Spurs-Liverpool next week, that's who you've got next. It's us.
We're against you lot, are we?
On Sunday week.
All right, okay. Very good.
It's the FPL Family Derby.
FPL Family Derby coming up. No problems whatsoever.
Pre-Christmas Derby, pre-Christmas divorce.
Is it at your place or our place?
you can come to us. Thank you very much.
All right, we're pretty good away.
I mean, we will have players back from COVID the day before, so that bodes well, doesn't it? Where was I going with this? And yeah, so as I said to you, that would have been really problematic for me because that would be five players in my team that I'd lost.
Yeah.
So you do have that. That's a real problem.
It is. Well, there we go, Sam. That is the podcast. That is the live stream. There it is. Let's talk about what's happening this week. Where are we going? What are we doing? Where will
you
see
us? Are we
busy? Busy week. It is a busy week.
Busy.
Go on, talk us through it.
You'll find us very late on Thursday evening on the FPL show.
Talking about the upcoming game week 18, as it will be at that point, because we're basically going to the show to watch the final game of game week 17, which I think is... What game is on TV?
They're all on TV.
Is it all? Is like an Amazon Prime thing, is it?
No, it's BT. BT. Everything's on BT.
BT Takeover.
BT taking over the world. So the game's on Thursday evening, which you lot last. Us and Leicester, hopefully.
Oh, it's us, is it? All right, okay.
Yeah, Spurs and Leicester, hopefully, at 7:30. Chelsea and Everton at 7:45. And then Liverpool and Newcastle at 8:00 on Thursday night. So we'll be doing that on Thursday evening.
Very good.
Yeah, like I say, it's a very late night one, so if you can watch it,
great. We'd love
then
to see
great
it.
Do yeah. And then in terms of podcasts, you, my darling,
I'm on. Am I?
Are on the official FPL podcast
for game week 17 or for game week 18?
For game week 18. So on,
so that must be on Thursday as well.
Friday morning, 8 a.m.
I can't get after me all these game weeks. It's
after
ridiculous.
Getting home, you're going to do what I did last week. So after getting home at 2:00 in the morning,
my day.
You're up for an 8 a.m. podcast. I, on the other hand, don't wake me up. I'll catch up on your pod later. I'll be having a...
Tune into that podcast because literally anything can happen. We get in, when we do the late FPL shows, we get in at about 2:00 in the morning, have a couple of hours sleep and then get up. And by the way, I struggle to sleep after the FPL show because I'm so
wired.
Buzzing from being on it. So yeah. It's wicked. So we come home, we're like, oh, buzzing for being on the show. So you get in at 2:00, don't get to sleep till about 3:30, and you're up at whatever ridiculous time Kelly Summers wants to do the FPL podcast, which is normally about 7:30.
So it was 7:45 on, when did I do it last week? Friday morning?
So early.
7:45 in the morning. I was
so
like,
early.
Kelly, what am I doing here at 7:45 in the morning?
So anything could happen on the game week 18 volume of the FPL podcast. So look out for that one on Thursday and look out for us on the FPL show, guys.
And also, for those of you that enjoy my Q&As with Az...
I love the Q&As with Az. I'm putting it out there. I think that's probably...
You're always in the chat, you.
I like being in the chat. I would say it's probably my second favourite video on Scout.
What the hell do you like more?
I knew you were going to say that.
Oh, I bet it's... I know. It's going to be Ronaldo. You love him.
I love FPL Ronaldo. What a legend. And he was on. So I really... My favourite video, don't take this the wrong way, but I love Ted. Ted Talks FPL on
right,
the Fantasy Football Scout
YouTube channel.
You love
YouTube
Ted
Talks
channel.
FPL more than me.
I love his videos more than you, dear. His video this week with FPL Ronaldo was well good. Those guys, if you've not checked out Ronaldo, if you've not checked out Ted, or indeed if you haven't checked out Sam and Az with
I
the weekly Q&A.
This.
I love you and Az on the Q&A. I love it, don't get me wrong.
I'm never answering one of your questions ever again.
You have to super chat, goddammit.
So, yeah. So, regardless of Lee's opinion on things, to be fair, Ted Talks videos on a Monday are brilliant. They are brilliant. He's on every Monday. Az and I are on, usually on a Friday, but obviously with the midweek deadline, we'll be on twice this week with Q&A. So we will be on Tuesday, I think at 11:30, but Az will confirm. I think it's 11:30 on Tuesday, and then we'll be back again for another Q&A. At 11:30 on Friday.
All right, okay. So head over to the Fantasy Football Scout YouTube channel. You can do that. As soon as you've finished in here, you can type in FF Scout into the YouTube search engine. That channel will pop up. Hit the subscribe button over there as well. And of course, if you're not subscribed to our channel, hit the little red subscribe button before you go. Leave us a like. Hope you enjoyed the stream. Take a breath because we'll be going again on Tuesday, thick and fast. The fixtures are coming for another round. Game week 17 this time. And then we'll be back next Sunday, 8:30, in our usual time slot to look back at everything that happened in game week 18 and looking ahead
Derby.
To 19, the FPL Family Derby, Liverpool versus Spurs. Guys, thanks for joining us and we'll see you soon. Cheers.
Bye, guys.